Welcome to Unspoken. In this episode, I am so thrilled to be joined by Sophie Kasai, who shares her fertility journey to date and the impact it's had on her life. She has faced challenges in her relationship and all other aspects whilst on a journey of becoming a mum. She has been publicly documenting her journey through a TV documentary and on her own social media platforms, where she has reached and connected with so many others on a similar pathway. She continues to find answers after nearly 3 years into trying to conceive and is so hopeful about becoming a mum despite the setbacks she has experienced. And she is so honest and open and unfiltered in sharing what has happened on her journey to date. Now, Sophie comes from a strong, loving Geordie, Middle Eastern blended background, and she shot to fame in the massive TV show Geordie Shore all the way back in May 2011 and won over the nation. And her fame has led to her building an ever-growing loyal fan base. Sophie has featured in Geordie OGs, Celebrity X on the Beach, and also Geordie Shore Reunion. Sophie's career continues to thrive, as does her personal life, where she found her forever love with TOWIE star Jordan Brooke, and she is now also a firm fixture in the TOWIE show. And as a couple, Sophie and Jordan have documented their struggle to conceive, which led to the four-part documentary Every Woman on MTV back in late 2024. But because of the phenomenal reaction to the show, it is now available on Paramount Plus under the title Geordie Stories, Sophie's Fertility Journey. Now, she continues her fertility journey with partner Jordan and wants nothing more than to fall pregnant this year. They are continuing to go above and beyond to make this a reality. And whilst it's a testing time, Sophie does remain confident and positive. Again, I'm so honoured to share this episode with you, and a huge thanks again to Sophie, and I hope you find this episode insightful. Hi, Sophie. I am so pleased you could join us today on Unspoken, and it's so lovely to have you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm actually doing really, really well. I think this year has been a massive milestone for me and my partner, Jordan. We've finally got some answers and I feel like we're on the right path. So I feel like if any time is good to speak, it's probably now. So that's why I was like, yeah, why not? Let's do this podcast.
Wonderful. And yeah, it's so great to have you. And I know you've been so open with your story and so generous. And I know it would have helped so many women so far. But I suppose we first met when you were filming Every Woman, and you had a group of us ladies come together and talk about our own journeys and kind of where our journey started, where we are now. But I think what would be great if you're able to take us back to the start of your journey when you first met Jordan, your other half, and then what happened when you started to embark on the journey of trying to conceive.
I mean, I could be here all day telling you my story, but it all sort of began when I was 30 years old. I was single at the time, and we were filming for a show called Geordie OGs. And basically, it was all the original Geordie Shore cast members on life now and how it's changing and growing up and moving forward in life. And because I was turning 30, one of my scenes was, look, I'm turning 30. I would love a family in the future. How do I know that everything works down there? So I filmed a fertility test, like an overall fertility health check. And although everything looked great, there was speculation about I could potentially have endometriosis. So she said I could have it. They obviously can't see if I have endometriosis unless I have a laparoscopy. But she said, look, there is signs there. You could have it. And then for my whole time being single until I met Jordan, which was about 2.5 years, I just generally believe mentally I had endometriosis. I was booked in for laparoscopy, but COVID hit during them years, and it was just a nightmare getting to see anyone. So I just generally believed I just had endometriosis, but obviously I spoke out about that because I didn't know what it meant. So I went on a journey and just asking for answers about endometriosis. So a lot of the nation think now I have endometriosis, but the story goes on. When I met Jordan at the age of like 32, about 6 months into the relationship, it was just different. I think when you meet someone in your 30s, you just have a different feeling about whether you're going to be with that person forever or not, compared to when you're in your 20s. So me and Jordan, we weren't really careful, but then it got to about 6 months and I was like, something's a bit weird here. I was like, I've had a fertility checkup, but they said I had endometriosis. Why don't I go for another one? So with Jordan, off I went there and again, got everything done, bloods, ultrasound scans, all the standard generic testing. And I asked the doctor, can you see any endometriosis there? And he was like, no, nothing. And I was like, all right, maybe I still need this laparoscopy. I was like, nothing at all. He was like, nothing. He went, but you do have cysts, but they are like small cysts. A lot of women have them. It's very natural to have cysts, but there's nothing really to worry about. And I was like, okay, so maybe that's where the pain has come from, because I do get pain on the left side quite a bit during either ovulation or menstrual cycle. So I was thinking maybe it's just that then. So me and Jordan continued to try for a baby, and this was going on another year. So we were like a year down the line now. We were like, this is getting a little bit not like right. So we were like, right, Jordan, you go for a sperm test. So Jordan went for a sperm test. Everything came back with flying colours. They did like an in-depth sperm analysis on him. Everything came back amazing, perfect, which then gave us more confusion. Then we were like, well, what is actually going on? If I'm okay, everything's working for me, everything's working for Jordan, then what is actually going on? So I started to like speak about it a bit because I wanted some help. Like, this was such a lonely road for me. None of my friends have ever been through that. So I was like, who do I speak to? So lucky for me, I've got a massive fan base who are the same age as me on social media. So then I started being very open and talking about it, to when I got like so much response. And then MTV reached out and were like, right, we would love for you to speak about this journey if you're open to it, and you'll get all like the psychiatrist help, you'll get all our support. You know, if times that you are struggling and you don't want to film, that's absolutely fine. And with all that, I spoke to Jordan and I was like, you know what? Maybe this can really help me and you and others and get us on the right path to where we need to be. So that's when I started filming Every Woman, and that was a really hard journey for us. I remember like we started filming about 3-4 times a week. And I actually had to say to the producers, I was like, guys, it's getting a little intense, because my whole life was being consumed about talking about fertility. So it's like every day I'd wake up, it's about, oh my God, I might not be able to have kids. I might not be able to have a baby. Fertility, fertility, fertility. And I felt like that was just giving us a negative mindset. So in the end, we only filmed for like 1 or 2 days a week, which was a little bit easier because it was spread out. And it was just like consuming my whole life. And I think that did put probably quite a stress on mine and Jordan's relationship, to the point where like there was one point where me and Jordan were just like, we just weren't really talking, we weren't communicating. And it was really, really hard. But Every Woman did help that, and it really, really helped my journey. And, you know, I would love to say I found some answers, but I didn't. But we did go to some amazing clinics with people that were trying to help us, but still just not getting any answers.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hard enough when you're on the journey and you're trying to figure things out. But then also, like you're describing, filming, it consumes your life. It consumes your life anyway. And it's an impact, like you're saying, on your relationship. And I'm just wondering, kind of, from the journey you've been, so I think it's coming up to what, 3 years since you kind of been on this journey?
Yeah, I think it's 2.5-3 years now. Yeah.
And how has your, I suppose, your relationship with Jordan changed over that time, and also been impacted by this?
I think me and Jordan have had a massive roller coaster of the fertility journey. The first year me and John got together, you know, you're in the honeymoon stage and the last thing you think about is like life and things that, you know, are going to be complicated. So first year was just going out and being free. And we 6 months into a relationship, like, you know, people think it's early, but I just knew he was going to be my forever. And after that, we weren't really careful, but it was just fun. And then obviously when we started to get these tests and speak about it a lot more, and it obviously consumed our lives because we all openly talked about it on these shows, you know, and look, people would see in the street and they'd be like, I wish you the best of luck on the fertility journey. And that was amazing. And it was so supportive, but I was like, oh my God, it's really just taken over. And there was points where, you know, I wouldn't tell Jordan when I would have a period. When I was coming on my period, I just couldn't bear to tell him because I was like, I can be quite strong. I think I've been in this industry a long time. I've built up a massive resilience to any kind of trauma or emotion. But for Jordan, I think for a man, he is a very sensitive man. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He's so amazing. I just didn't want to hurt him. So it was hard because it was like I was taking these pregnancy tests like on my own and just seeing negatives constantly, like month after month after month. And Jordan would be like, have you took a test this month? And I'd just lie. I'd be like, nah, I haven't. I'm just going to wait on my period, because I didn't want it to affect our relationship. But like looking back now, that's a really lonely time for me and for him, because he's not getting answers. I'm doing this all on my own through, and I'm being so lonely and not speaking to anyone. You know, you're ovulating every month, and my ovulation was absolutely spot on. It was brilliant getting these positive ovulation sticks and then not telling him when to baby dance. So it was just fully consumed our lives, and we went through a very, very hard year last year, like extremely hard year, because yes, of course, fertility can be hard, but when we started to get unexplained infertility, that was a point where we had no answers. So we were just angry at everything, because we're like, what do we do to progress? Just keep doing what we're doing. What happens if we're 5 years down the line? And then I come to a stage where I, you know, start going into my 40s and it becomes a lot harder. So we were just in limbo. I was just sitting there like, what do we do? We've had every test from Harley Street, all the medicals, top dogs in the business. I have been on Clomid, I've took vitamins, I've did this, I've did everything you can imagine by the book. Still, you're fine, don't worry. Everything's fine. Don't stress, it'll happen. All your tests are great. Everything works down there. I had another operation called High Corsi as well. So when I say I, you know, spend quite a bit of money getting all these different tests done, still, me and Jordan had not one answer to why this isn't working. So that's why this year's a lot different. But last year, hardest year. Yeah. Hardest year.
And yeah, and what you're describing is many people will resonate. It's difficult. I mean, and I, for some, being told you have unexplained infertility is hard. Is sometimes hardest, because you actually don't know what do I do? And is what I'm doing so far helping? And you're kind of just firing in the dark and thinking, hopefully something will help. And it sounds like you changed your lifestyle massively. And I'm just wondering, and was there anything that helped you in terms of what you changed? Because, you know, you're obviously, your ultimate goal is to help you get pregnant, but did anything actually help you in other ways that you were trying?
I think one of the biggest things is my mindset. You know, mindset is massive. I remember seeing people like announce pregnancies and I would just sit and I'd be like, why is this not me? Why are they getting pregnant? Like, what am I doing wrong? And like, I was just like, why is God punishing me? Like, I questioned my whole life and my body, and I'd be like, I'm on this earth to bring a baby in the world. Why can't my body just do what it has to do? So I was quite like, not angry at the world. I was just like angry at myself and like my body. It was like my body's just failed on us. And I think that was really tough. So for me, I had to change the way my brain was thinking, because I just felt like I was in a negative headspace, that everything around us was negative. Everything was negative. I was just like, I'm not going to get pregnant. This is not going to happen to me. And I was like, I cannot do that. So I did a lot of like inner work. And I know this is all like woo-woo stuff, but I really do believe like the woo-woo helped us. So when it comes to like Reiki and meditation and going for walks, like if me and Jordan had a, you know, a bit of a bad day where we got a negative result again, we just go for a walk with the dog. I'm like so in it. Look, I'm not going to like sit here and say like I am the perfect role model to a really healthy body. That's not me. I like to still enjoy life. If I didn't enjoy life and I didn't enjoy still having a glass of wine or still going to meet friends and having fun, then I would be in a very, very dark place because my whole life would be consumed by just thinking about, oh my God, I can't do this because then what about if I can't get pregnant? Like, I can't live like that, and I will not. Like, I will not let it take over everything. So, you know, I will have my juices every morning and I'll take my vitamins every day, and I really will do the best I can for my body. Like, recently I got like all my fillers dissolved. Not that that's going to affect anything, but it's just like a little journey I've been on. And, you know, I got so many messages online every single day of, have you tried this vitamin? Have you tried this? Have you tried this? And you know what? I actually gave most of it a go. I was like, you know what? If I can take a couple of maca root and it's going to get us pregnant, then hell yeah. Took the maca root. Me and Jordan went teetotal for 6 months. That didn't work. I was drinking like the maddest portions I'd seen online of like clove water, and I mean, the list goes on. Like, I was doing everything. People are like, oh, have you tried acupuncture, which I did, and I still do. Really like acupuncture, reflexology. I do all that as well. But the list goes on. And then people are like, have you tried Clomid? I took Clomid. But yeah, honestly, Anita, I could be here all day in the space of like two and a half, 3 years. We've done everything.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, what you're describing is what so many people would do. You'll go to, if anyone suggests something that worked for someone that you think, oh, I'll give that a go. And sometimes you've got this long list, and the longer the list becomes, the more expensive it comes. And it's like all your time and energy is just going into this project of baby project, and it becomes overwhelming. But just going back to what you said about the mindset stuff, I think a lot of times people forget about how important that is as part of the process, because it's, you know, it's all about, like you're saying, the energies, what you're, and it goes back to things like manifestation, what you're believing in. And I think if you are in a negative space and you feel like something's not going to happen, that shifts your body's energies. And I'm wondering whether there was any specific things that helped with your mindset that really helped shift it into a more positive or healthy place.
You know, to be really honest, I think the only thing that helped me was just getting answers. And I wish there was something out there I could say to women like, you know, be like this, be like that. But I only started shifting my mindset once I started getting some answers and seeing there was hope. I mean, I always had hope, because if you don't have hope, what have you got? And I think like the support of Jordan was amazing. And, you know, it was hard because, you know, I cancelled so many plans with friends because I was like, right, I might be pregnant then. Oh my God, if I'm pregnant, oh my God, that would be great. If I'm pregnant, then that would fall on like the day of my nana's birthday, or oh my God, if we're pregnant, then they'll have the same star sign as family. Like, everything I did was, I just think about like, I can't go to that barbecue because I might be pregnant. And if I am, oh my God, they're going to know if I don't have a drink. It was just constant. So last year I cancelled so many things. Like, I just sat on my own quite a bit, and weekends I had quite alone. Jordan's obviously was working, and me and Jordan, like, after work would just sit and just do nothing because we were so scared in case maybe I was pregnant and it would just take over our whole life. So that mindset was hard. It was really, really hard. But I do believe, like, you know, I've had a lot of sort of healing. I had hypnotherapy on every woman, I don't know, does it work or not? I don't know. Things did change a little bit, but you really just don't know if these things work. But for me, I think like my outlook changed when I just started believing that it was going to happen. I think like speaking to a lot of women and look, there's always hope at the end of the day. Whatever the outcome is, there can be a baby in your arms. You know, there's so many ways out there. There's always, you know, ways beyond like you can imagine to have a baby. So I just started believing that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And when it does, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. And absolutely. And hope does go a long way. And kind of what you talked about earlier, it sounded like you almost started to question yourself, you know, as a woman, that I should be doing this. This should be happening. And I'm wondering where you are now in terms of, you know, are you able to almost have that compassion for yourself and not give yourself such a hard time that it hasn't happened so far?
Yeah, like, look, in the past, I know that can happen to my body. I know that my body can have a baby. Like, I know that. But I think, you know, that's all me and Jordan want. We just want an amazing family. And I think you do question so many things. Everything you do, you question, you know, like it gets to a point where I was thinking, oh my God, Jordan's got his mobile phone in his pocket when he's at work. That needs to stop. And then I was saying, John, you can't have hot showers anymore. You need to have cold showers and put them on there to, you can't have hot showers, mind. And then like, I'd go to bed with socks on, like, oh, it's just, when I think about it now, we were just like doing anything and bless our souls, you know, but you question everything. You question just being a woman, like, why is this not happening? And when two people who are so madly in love that would give a child the best life they could ever imagine, that's all that they want, you do question, like, why haven't we been blessed with that yet? And why not? And why is it taking so long? But one thing I will say is I do believe I was put on this earth and with this profile to maybe go through these struggles, because I'm helping not only myself, but so many women out there go through the same thing. And look, if I can help at least two women, you know, get through this fertility journey, then I feel like I've been on this planet for some good in my life.
Yeah. And it's quite remarkable when you're on your own journey to be able to share parts of yourself that are vulnerable and that might help other people. So it's incredible that you're turning your pain into a bit of your purpose and you want to connect and help other people. And I know since you've gone public, your inbox must have been flooded, loads of DMs.
Yeah.
And what have been some of the useful and perhaps some of the not so useful things that people have said to you since you've gone public?
There is a few times like when I do posts, like I do actually read quite a lot of my inboxes, but sometimes I have to turn them off because some work messages get lost in it. So I'm like, right, I just have to turn them off for a little bit now. But look, like when people were reaching out, and it's quite sad really telling us about, like, you know, how hard it's been for them when they've had like multiple miscarriages and things like that. Like that, look, I've got a heart. That's always going to affect us, you know, knowing that women are going through all that pain and some people don't speak about it. Look, I'm only human and I do read them and I get, you know, really, really sad to think that like women are going through this and it's not just me. There's so many women out there. I think I read something the other day, 1 in 6 women go through infertility. So that is a massive number, and that's not actually okay. So my inboxes, look, it gets overwhelming and it's hard reading the pain and suffering women have went through. Like I do struggle reading that because I want to reach out and I want to hug them, but it's sometimes just, even I don't know really what I'm saying. There's just so many, it would just take up my whole life. But then again, you know, you do get the other people who do talk about the positive stories, and you know, that's lovely to read as well. So look, it's always hit and miss in the inbox, but I know that, you know, I've put this platform out to get them kind of messages, and look, my inbox is always open and I'm always reading and I'm always listening, and you know, I feel all women's pain and men as well that are going through this. And look, I'm only human myself. So yeah, you know, it's hard. It is really, really hard. And I want to help people, but for my own therapy as well. Like hearing, you know, if I was on my own and going through this and I didn't really hear many positive stories or any stories, I would just be like losing my mind. I'd be like reaching out on like Google and stuff, but it's like I've got a full forum on my own social media of these other women I can talk to and relate to if I have any questions.
Yeah. And I suppose, it, like you say, you are only human and you have to protect yourself as well going through this, and you can't be, you know, consumed by it all. And it sounds like you've got so much empathy for everyone out there. I know you mentioned some of the positive stories. How has it been for you hearing, you know, the baby announcements, you know, going or not going to baby showers? How has that process been for you?
I think last year was harder. I struggled last year and I think I really like openly spoke about it. This year it's a little bit different. I think because I've seen a lot of people going through the same journey as me, and maybe because mentally I'm aware of people going through like similar stuff and getting an amazing outcome and they're all having the babies at the end of it. I think because I'm thinking that I'm seeing more of it, because it's like what's the analogy, red car or something. If you want to see a red car, you'll see it. So for me, I think like I'm looking for the positives now. So seeing people go through, you know, unexplained fertility for 3-4 years, but having the baby at the end of it. And that's just what I'm hoping for. So this year's different. I actually went to my cousin's baby shower the other day. And look, when it's family and friends as well, you want to be so like happy for them, which you are. And you know, it's going to be amazing. And I think last year I would have like not really been around that, but this year I want to really throw myself into it, and I really want to throw myself into the celebrations and into the baby showers, because I feel like I'm manifesting it around us, you know, being with like my nephews and being with my friends' kids. Like if I'm surrounding myself with it, it's going to help me get through, but the more and more I'm away from it, the more I'm going to really struggle. Like the other day, you know, Jordan's a barber and a lot of like young babies come in because the partners bring like it's daddy day out. So the other day Jordan was like, oh, can you hold the baby? Because I need to cut my client's hair. So I was like, so a moment I was like, God, this is quite hard, because it was a three, four week old baby. And it's very rare I hold newborns. So I thought I just have to do it. I just have to, and I know it's hard, but I did it. And I was like, it was just, it was a feeling of where I was like, this is going to be me one day. This is going to be me. Apart from like putting the baby down and then going crying, which I would have last year. It was just like holding the baby and being like, I've got this. I've got this. This is going to be me. So it's more of like, it makes us feel better that I'm throwing myself into it. But look, I get it. Not everyone can do that. And I totally, totally empathize that feeling, because I was there last year.
And I suppose, yeah, like you say, it almost goes in a bit of waves. Some days you're okay, some days are not so okay. And it's always about doing what feels comfortable for you. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, how has it been from Jordan? I know Jordan's not in this podcast, but how has it been from his perspective, the whole journey of going through it alongside you?
I think it's harder for men to speak up. And I always tell him, you know, if he gets a chance to speak up to the boys or, you know, speaking to the other men. I know he's a barber, so he's very like outspoken. He's like a therapist to people. It's like we go to our hairdressers and we tell them our whole life stories. He gets that. So he can be really, really outspoken, and he speaks to a lot of, you know, men. Some of his friends are going through the same thing, so he can speak about it to them. But I think for a relationship, you know, your partner wants to protect you and he wants to make sure you're all right. And I think for Jordan, he just wants me to be okay. And it's hard because it's not just me. It's also him going through this as well. So we just had to, you know, come to the conclusion that we are a team and we're in this together and we're going to get through it together. And I think you need your partner support. And look, if you are feeling a certain way, be honest with your partner, because there's times when I used to hide so much and that wasn't doing me any good. And the more and more I talked about things with Jordan, the better it was. Mm. And now, like, you can understand, like, if I'm not feeling good a certain day, or, you know, like, at the minute, I'll be honest, like, at the minute, I'm due to come on my period and we're at that 2-week wait and we're like, right, well, what is actually going on? So he said, have you took a test? And I went, no, but I will in a couple of days because nothing's going to show up. So we communicate a lot more now compared to before.
Yeah, and it sounds like before you, what you described, it felt quite lonely, and that is really hard. And communication, definitely, because it helps you both to understand each other, where you're at if you're having a bad day. So it's great that you've been able to do that. And I suppose from a family perspective, has there been any pressures or anything that's kind of not been so helpful as you've been on this journey? Because obviously they must know everything because you've been so open.
So open, yeah. Look, from a parent's point of view, they never really want to hear that their daughter's struggling. Every parent just wants the best for the kids. Mm. And no matter what, no matter whether I'm 18, like 9 years old or 35, I'm still my parents' little girl. And look, my dad is Iranian, so he comes from a different kind of culture where it is just all about family. Like, that is so important to them. It's not about, like, the party lifestyle or going out. Like, they just love family and food. That is all that they love. And that's the way that I've been brought up, is family is so important. So my dad would love to be, you know, a grandparent one day. And look, for them, they're getting older as well. And my mum moved all the way down to Essex now. She lives not far from me because one day she wants to be a grandma and she's just setting up her foundations to be there for us when the day does come. So it's hard because I know that's all they want now, you know, the next stage in life. And Jordan's parents as well, like, they're just all rooting for us. And look, I think because we're so open about it, they understand. Mm. But again, you know, I think as parents, they know they're getting older and they want to be in that grandchild's life for as long as they can be. So it is pressure, but they don't put pressure on us, but I just know how they're feeling. So there's more pressure for me because I'm like, I just want them, you know, to be grandparents one day, which they will be, but I'm just scared about time for me. Time's a big issue I do worry about. I always think 35 now and I want multiple children and I'm always laying in bed. This is like a weird thing I've got. I lay in bed and I'll calculate. It's really like deep, but I'll calculate how old they're going to be before like I pass away. So I'm like, right, okay, I'll see them and hopefully till the 40th birthday. Hopefully they'll have kids by then. So I've got like this death anxiety thing. That's the only thing that I worry about, is being old and not seeing my kids grow up.
Yeah, and what you're describing is actually quite common. I've been there as well. You, as the time ticks along, you think, actually, if I have a baby now, then I'll be this age when they go to like school, and you kind of project forward. And it is that pressure of time, because time is so precious and you can't predict what's going to happen in the future. But for you, I know you kind of mentioned earlier, there's other ways of being a parent. Have you thought about at which point you might switch and look at other options, or where are you at with that at the moment?
Look, like, I know there's so many other things you can do to have a baby, and I get that. I just think I'm not at that point yet. Mm. Who knows, in a couple of years, like, down the line when I get to 40, if we still haven't succeeded with all the other ways of science, then, you know, by all means, me and John would look into the future at other options. I mean, what else can you do, you know? We will definitely have that conversation if it ever comes to it. Mm-hmm. But for now, I am on such a positive journey to finding out answers. We've got answers now. We know why we can't get pregnant. And we finally got there after 2.5 years of looking everywhere for some answers. And we've got to just try this first. And then the next step will come along, then the next step. So right now, we are on such a positive journey to hearing answers that we've just got to stay in the lane while we can.
Yeah. And on that, you tell us a little bit more about some of the answers that you've had recently and what that means for you.
Yeah, of course. So obviously, look, in the UK, we did everything we could to try and find some answers, and we just got nothing. It was unexplained, unexplained. So we were just told to go away and just keep trying. I mean, how long can we keep trying for? Like, where the hell is that going to get us? And that was just getting us into a rut where we were just in a bit of a dark place with it all. So there was a lot of people started DMing us, talking about like some other clinics, maybe going exploring outside the UK. And I know that can be quite daunting, especially when it comes to fertility. Like, don't get us wrong, in the past I've went to other countries to get surgery, cosmetic surgery. And look, it's been amazing, some of it, some of it hasn't. So I was a little bit apprehensive about that. I had a friend who actually went over to Cyprus. She was such a good friend was throughout this whole unexplained stuff. And she went, do not get IVF or anything, because the UK are going to want to just send you straight for IVF, because that's just what they do. And obviously, it's a massive money-making thing, of course. And look, it's very successful in some people, but some people it's not. Now, if you are unexplained, which I am, there is something that's going to stop you from being able to conceive. So if I got IVF, it could potentially fail. Now, that already going through a very dark, depressing time where I mentally wasn't okay. Now, if that happened, me and Jordan would have had a very serious sort of state. We would have been in a serious state. So my friend reached out to me and said, you need to get more testing, but you need to get more immunology testing. And when you find out your answers, fix them. If that doesn't work, then go IVF. I said, all right, okay. Now, she succeeded after paying thousands and thousands. She did all the guinea pig stuff. So she did all the testing. She went with a doctor in the UK, Dr. Gorgi. I think he is quite expensive, who is one of the only doctors in the UK, which I don't understand why, who does this sort of immunology testing. Anyway, she went to him, got all the answers, and then went over to Cyprus to go for the IVF. Now, she chose twins, and she is here to live the story. She's got two beautiful girls now, two twin babies, and she has been my rock throughout all this. So she was someone who gave us a lot of advice. And so anyways, I did look to do a little bit more research, and there was another clinic called Fertilisys in Athens that do all this sort of testing for unexplained fertility. So I did my research. I sat up till like 2-3 a.m. like doing my research, looking and seeing that most people who went there were very successful and got the answers. So me and Jordan obviously live a very chaotic lifestyle. We couldn't go over to Athens. So we got everything sent to the UK, blood vials, all the testing, all the swabs and stuff, sent them off. And finally, got some answers why we were not getting pregnant, which was just unbelievable. And I don't get, you know, spent a lot of money in the UK, got the high COSI, got all the testing. I was taught I had endometriosis. Then I was taught I didn't have it. Jordan got sperm analogy done. So finally got some answers that was like a fraction of any kind of these appointments prices.
Mm.
So, which was amazing. So me and Jordan, well, I found out I had a ureaplasma, which is like an embedded bacteria that can, listen, this is all potentially, that could potentially affect fertility and can cause some miscarriages as well. So I was like, right, okay, what have I got? What surgery have I got to get rid of this? Or what strenuous injections have I got to do? And they were like, it's a 2-week course of antibiotics. So I was like, what? So before this, it was something around about me and John had a 10% chance of conceiving before ureaplasma. So that was why we couldn't get pregnant. Now, get rid of the ureaplasma. That has gone up to something like 40% now. So we're at a 40% chance of getting pregnant. Then obviously getting more bloods testing and everything like that. I don't want to explain too much here because Jordan's like the guru when it comes to like scientific stuff. So he knows it, like he's written it all down, but it's, we are like a partial DQ alpha match.
Right.
So it's something more to do with our genetics and Jordan's blood cells and my blood cells. So that is why the embryo just can't accept the cells. Because basically it's just like, think of, I don't know, two batteries and them not connecting. So yeah, that's what's going on at the minute, because we have implantation failure. That's with me and Jordan. But a lot of people who have recurrent miscarriages or unsuccessful IVFs, there's got to be something going on further. And this would be your answer to get this testing. So once me and Jordan, we next stage is we go to Athens, and I get Jordan's red blood cells made into a vaccine that we inject into me. It's called LIT therapy, lit therapy.
Right.
So when I get that, basically our genetics connect. And when I spoke about this on a recent Instagram thing, oh my God, again, the positive feedback I got is a lot of people in Australia get this tested, and I've got a big Australian fan base. So they always say a lot of doctors will test you for this straight away. But unfortunately, I don't know why the UK don't, because we could get so many answers and so many, you know, there's so many more successful IVF rounds. But there's obviously something going on. So look, when me and John get the lit therapy, we'll try again for a couple of months, see if it works. And then if not, we fix the problem to then get IVF.
Yes, yes.
So and that's where we're at. Sorry, it's a lot, very long-winded, but we're getting somewhere.
That's really useful to know, because obviously a lot of people are maybe feeling a bit daunted about the idea of going abroad and even having tests and stuff. But what you're describing is there are limited, perhaps, resources in the UK, and something perhaps needs to change. And I know that the HFEA, so that's the governing body of all around fertility. Yeah, yeah. So maybe it's something they're looking into, they've looked into. And I think, yeah, it is about diagnosing the why as opposed to going straight into a solution, because you don't know what you're dealing with. You don't know what you need to fix or change to get that end result.
Exactly. You're so right. And look, people, obviously, some people think we're on an IVF journey, and I'm not saying no to that. Like I've said, going forward, there's other things that we're going to do, but we're just so fixated. I think a lot of people think IVF is the answer. And when I did speak to the doctor, look, it is for a lot of people, and I totally get that. It's been so successful in so many people. And who knows, me and John could go and get IVF, and it may work, but it may not. So I just want to fix the problem first before we go down that avenue. And like when I did speak to the doctor, IVF, you know, it is more for people who really struggle in terms of maybe the sperm quality is not good, or the egg quality, or a lot more invasive stuff, or maybe you have one tube. So IVF shouldn't just be a quick solution at all. And although it's amazing, and I get that, and the NHS, you know, you can go on the NHS and get that, and, you know, it is quite pricey. I totally get that. But again, for me, that's not the issue at all. It's more, I would like to fix the problem first so that I know when I do go for that, it would hopefully be successful.
And like you say, here in the UK, IVF does seem to be the only solution. So I think, yeah, and it's an expensive solution for many people. So if you 100%. Can get tests done and look at how you can address the problem beforehand, then that's definitely always a good way. But obviously, everyone, consult your doctor, find out what's best. Everyone is so individual and needs different things.
No, of course. Look, I get that. Like, look, you know, you've got to speak to your doctors and speak to them before anything, because not everyone's problem might be the same as mine. With fertility, we've all got different issues going on, and I get that. But for me, I had unexplained fertility. So because it was so unexplained, the clinic in Athens said it's not unexplained, it's just unexplored. And that is exactly what was right with me. It was just not explored enough. And you know, I get that not everyone wants to go abroad for these treatments, and it can be pricey. I get that as well. Like, look, I've got friends who have been through all these kind of things, but what I will say is, for me, I got all this testing done at home. They send everything to the UK, So I've had everything tested at home, and then I did go and visit them because I was going on a cruise with my mom, which left from Athens. So I was like, you know what, I'll go pop in there. So I popped into the clinic and it was just amazing. You know what, it's hard, Anita, because I just feel like I'm in good hands now. But if I could have went back 2 years ago now, maybe I wouldn't have been in this position. But like I've said, everyone's been on this journey with us. And if I can take anything positive out of this, it's the journey has been a wild one. And everyone's, you know, rooting for me and Jordan, which is so beautiful and so nice to see that we get all this like love. And look, the day that the baby is here, I know the whole world is just going to be like, yeah, hurrah, thank God.
and it is that, you know, you've been on such a journey. And like you say, maybe you were meant to be on this journey and it's for a purpose. And yeah, if you were to go back to the start of your journey, is there anything else that you would do differently?
You know, I always say this to friends who are maybe single, but you know, at that age where they would like to start a family when they meet someone, I would say you're never too young to get testing. Because if there is an issue, you can fix it a long time before it's maybe too late. So, you know, I would say, like, look, not to like younger generation, I would say like more towards, you know, you're 25 to 35 and you haven't found someone yet, just get the fertility test and just get it done. You know, I will swear by that. And I'll tell a lot of friends about that. And, you know, the contraception out there, you've just got to be very careful with what you're getting out there. And, you know, I always say, just track your periods. Track your periods. There's plenty of apps out there. Know your cycle, know your body. If you are tracking your ovulation, you're tracking your periods, it will help you know a lot more about your body. And the reproductive system is very, very important. And, you know, in the long run, you're going to need that one day. So look after yourself.
Absolutely. Some great advice. And I think just to thank you, Sophie, for all that you have been doing and raising awareness, sharing your story, coming on here today and talking to me as well. And absolutely, I think we all wish you and Jordan the best of luck and hope and pray with, you know,
we're all praying hands together every night.
every night we are praying. Yeah, but thank you so much. So pleasure to have you.
Listen, well done to you as well. I think like these platforms are really, really good because look, we all talk about, you know, other issues in life, and I think fertility is a hard one and it comes with a lot of mental health that comes with it as well. So look, if I can help anyone and you as well, then we're doing some good in the world. And I know your journey is, you know, being the, you know, not the easiest ride. So I just respect you so much for still speaking up after what you've been through, Anita. So well done to you as well, my love.
Thank you, Sophie. We'll conquer the world together.
We will. We've got this.
Wow, what a phenomenal episode, and a really, really huge thanks to Sophie for being so incredibly open and vulnerable in sharing her experience so far and how it's been in trying to find answers as to why she hasn't conceived. And I think what's really struck me is her resilience and her tenacity to keep going and looking for answers in the pursuit to become a mother. And I think her hope is really inspiring, and I hope it connects with those who are listening in to today's episode. And if you have been affected by anything that was covered, then please do reach out for help for those organizations listed in the show notes. And we do encourage you to consult with your own doctor in regards to anything related to your medical procedures or treatment. Again, a huge thank you to Sophie. And we are also so honoured that we are being sponsored by Tambre, who are a leading assisted reproduction centre based in Madrid. And Tambre believe that fertility care should be both advanced and deeply human. Thank you for listening. And we look forward to bringing you more episodes. And please do subscribe to the series so you don't miss any future episodes. And we'd love to hear from you. So please do like, subscribe, and also comment. Thank you and stay well.